It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what do you bet on Twitter, with music by Delete Great Cars and Trucks. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny podcast. I'm your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett. Scotty Johnny himself and Aaron is still gone this week. He's out visiting family. He's in North Carolina now. So I am joined by the illustrious, the brilliant, the, genetically wonderful, I suppose, Joshua Barnett to give us all his wonderful sports opinions. How are you today?
Good, how are you?
I'm as well as I was earlier. For everyone who doesn't know, this is my son Joshua. We talk about his takes every now and then, but it's nice to have him on every now and then here to give us a little take. It's been a little while, though.
I think it's been over a year now.
Yeah, you have been on the show. He just, like I said, it has been a time.
A very long time, in fact.
Yes, he's smarter, he's wiser, he's learned more from me since then. He will disagree with me at times, and Josh, you're okay to disagree with me today. I won't withhold food or anything like that, nothing crazy.
So not last week?
All right. Yeah, don't worry, everybody. He has no problems absolutely disagreeing with me whenever it needs to be said. All right. Well, thank you again, everybody, for joining us this week. All of our wonderful listeners in Wisconsin, in the United States, and around the world. Willkommen, bienvenue, welcome, benvenuto, whatever other countries we've got. I don't know how to say it in Ukrainian.
I have no idea how to say it in Ukrainian either.
Yeah, Vitami. We haven't actually had anyone from Poland listening in yet, but Vitami to our friends in Poland, if you were ever wanting to listen more Packer talk.
The Poles love their Packers.
They do. I imagine, because the Polish people I know in central Wisconsin love them, so.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of Poles. Anyhow, you can follow this show itself on Twitter at ScottyJohnnyPod. You can follow me at NotSoHumbleHost. If you want to, Josh is on Twitter. He's on Twitter as of like 2 weeks ago now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's throwing out the big guns here. Where do people follow you if they wanted to follow you?
I don't know. I'm not going to post anything.
All right. Brilliant. All right. I'll put up his thing later, maybe. I don't know. We'll tag him on our post when we put this up, just so he knows how to download and how to get ready with that. All right, everybody. Remember, of course, to subscribe, listen, download, rate, and review us. Those 5-star reviews do help a lot of people find the podcast, so we always appreciate having everybody with us and helping us find other people. But we're going to get going right away. The portion of our show that we like to call our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right, Josh. So, you know we like to start with Packers.
Yes, I know that one.
Yeah, so we're going to just do the slight little things on Packer talk here. As of today, J.J. Watt is now an Arizona Cardinal.
Hurts my heart.
It does. I'm not mad at J.J., though.
I'm kind of mad at J.J.
You are? Why are you mad at J.J.?
You know, like, I want him to get a ring, right? And he's not going to get it in Arizona.
Okay. Now, yeah, I think that's the thing that kind of gets me. And some people are saying that they're upset about that portion. But, I mean, like, Arizona went 8-8 last year. They finished third in their own division, which, of course, the other two teams in that division ahead of them made the playoffs. So, and Arizona, if Arizona had been better, they would have beaten the Bears out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, of course, this is the first year they added that extra wild card spot. So 7 of the 16 teams in the NFC made the playoffs. They were 8th. So I guess the hope he had as a Packer fan was that J.J. Watt meant it when he said he really wanted a championship. And this game was, you know, it was about going to get a championship. I think what we learned is he really just needed to get out of Houston.
Yeah, I think that was what his version of saying he wants a ring, you know, is just trying to find a way to get out and get more teams to offer him.
Do you think it was more money than team, though?
I think that was a big part of it, because I know the Browns probably offered him maybe a little bit less, if not the same.
It was, I believe, $32 or $31 million over 2 years. $23 million of it guaranteed.
That's so, a lot.
That's a lot of money back now. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess the big thing I would say is, and you know, tell me if you think if you still disagree with me at this, you know, I think he just, I mean, that situation in Houston has been terrible.
It still is terrible.
It's still terrible.
Deshaun Watson just wants, he would be out of there if, even if he had to pay $3 million to sit out a season.
It's way more than three because he's making 20, what is he making, 27, 28 now?
Oh, yeah. He has to pay a $3 million fine for not playing.
Oh, fine. Okay. Yeah, I get that. Yeah, he'd definitely consider that as he goes, I think, because he hates the situation. The ownership has not been particularly great to them, I guess, in the short run here. Their last coach, they hated. I think they all hated O'Brien.
Yeah.
And they just have not been good. I think the bigger part is not so much they haven't been good, but they all hate playing there. I think everybody on that team seems to hate playing there right now.
Yeah, I feel like that's a big part of, you know, where players make their decision to play, because if you're not going to have fun where you play or enjoy it, then why are you going to be there?
Yeah, because J.J. Watt's essentially getting the same money he got. He would, if he'd have stayed in Houston, he'd have made basically the same contract. Like, the money he had left and what he got in Arizona, he basically just didn't lose.
Yeah.
He didn't get a giant payday out of it. He's just getting what he kind of was going to get. So, I don't know. I think the big thing is he doesn't want to play in Arizona. In Houston. And, you know, he's got somebody on that team already in Arizona. He knows...
He knows D-Hop, but I don't think he makes them a Super Bowl winner. I don't think he alone wins them an extra at least five games.
Well, and you know, looking at this on the DVOAs, Arizona is like 10th on defense. They were like 16th in offense or something like that, 16th or 17th in offense.
If Kyler Murray can get better, they might jump up to under 10, I think, within the next 2 years. That's my guess.
Well, if they get under 10, that'd be a huge jump from what they had. I guess my concern, if you're looking at that team, is, you know, are you going to get that consistent play from the running backs? They still had good play from Kenyon Drake this last year.
Not fantasy, though. Fantasy was all over the place for him.
I think he was better in fantasy than he was in real life, because he's a touchdown vulture. You know, like, he just shows up every now and then, and I was saved so many times. Like, he'd be a double-digit scorer because he had a touchdown in 30 yards. I was like, all right. But I mean, you know, and they also, they, you know, what, Edmonds or whatever they had over there too. They have some stuff going there. The offensive line is not terrible. They're a decent group up there. They just, I mean, I don't know what other receiver they have.
I think they have Kirk.
Christian Kirk. I don't know that he's ever been what we hoped he'd be yet, though.
He's kind of just a guy.
I think
he's a good receiver, I guess, but I wouldn't say he's elite.
No. But as a two,
he's an okay two.
Okay two. I don't know. I have to go back and look at it. I don't know.
I would take Lazard over him.
See, that's where I'm kind of going. It's like, I don't know if I would go with Lazard over him, but I'm not sure I wouldn't.
I haven't seen enough of Kirk, I guess.
Yeah, Murray gives you some interesting stuff. He's definitely got a great ability. He's definitely very mobile. He's one of their top rushers on that team.
Yeah,
which is horrible to say about any team. You don't want to have to say that about your team.
Unless you have Lamar.
Even then, you don't particularly like saying it.
Yeah.
We'll go into the little bit of other stuff here. The Packers finalized their coaching staff. They promoted Jerry Gray to defensive backs and passing game coordinator. He was with the D-backs the last several years anyhow. But he's also the passing game coordinator. I don't know if that comes with a pay raise or just a different, you know,
maybe they're rebranding it.
Right. Just put a different name plate on your door. It's like, I'm also the passing game coordinator.
No one cares, Jerry.
And Adam Stenovich, the offensive line run game coordinator. Let's see some of the other names that come up there. Those are the two bigger ones. But Raina Stewart to assistant special teams coach. Connor Lewis to special teams assistant game management specialist. That means like somebody who studies when you should take a timeout.
Oh, okay.
I guess game management specialist. That's, jeez, I could do that. Like, don't do it. Don't. No, there's too much time left. Matt, don't press it.
I wonder if he's the one who tells the people to challenge it or not. I wonder if he's the guy up in the press box telling them that.
I don't know. I just want to be the guy who's like, no, don't take that time out yet. Don't do it. Don't do it.
You can get in a playoff before then. You got it.
Come on, man. You got that 2-minute warning with you. Just call two plays in the huddle. That's what Tony Romo says you're doing. let's see. Who else we got? John Dunn is the special analyst. Justin Hood to defensive quality control coach. There's another job I want to do.
Defensive quality control.
Quality control.
That Ryan? Sounds like a bad rap album.
Quality control. That would be so good. Everybody, look, it's defensive quality control. I would be a terrible rapper, and I know this. I don't have anything else to go with it, but that would be a great start.
That's like your only part of the song. The rest is just instrumentals.
I would just do the hook. Got the defensive quality control. It's like the, was it the Pirates of the Caribbean hook with Michael Bolton?
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Mahaffey, that's a weird name, is an offensive quality control coach, which sounds like an even better job because Tim Zett's also offensive quality control. There's going to be so much quality on this offense.
Man, we better be top 10 in everything offensive.
I feel like two. If you're just the quality control for one of the best offensive minds currently in the game, you'd be like, yeah, Matt, you're doing great.
We got it.
Everything looking quality out there, my man.
Killing it, quality-wise.
All right. We're not going to get really into too many things in terms of, Josh, let's do this. I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to give you a couple people you and I have been watching because Josh and I watch our draft prep a little bit together. Here's a couple names that are falling right now on mock drafts of the Packers. We're not going to go deep dive on this, but here's some fun ones. Like Sports Illustrated, here's one I really like.
It better not be Nick Bolton out of Mizzou.
Oh, we're going to get to him later. Rondale Moore.
All right.
Rondale Moore, falling at 29 to the Packers. The problem is he's 5'9", 180 pounds.
I want Sertan to fall to us. That's what I want.
That would be amazing. Or Asante Samuel Jr.
I would take both of them.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we can't, but I would take either of them. With one pick, we pick Asante Samuel and Patrick Sertan.
They're like, well, there's not technically a rule against it, but...
I don't know if we can allow that.
I don't know. Yeah, no. But, I mean, Rondale Moore, for what you say, like he's kind of small, but that guy is... He's yoked. Like he's a thick guy. He's got incredible balance. He's got great hands. He's a very good route runner. He's played with a pass-first type of offense. He's had a lot of production over a couple years. You've seen it more than 1 year. I don't know. What do you think of that? I really like that idea.
I like that idea a lot, too. But also, there was that... I feel like him and Mooney out of Florida.
Tony. Did Tony? You mean Kadarius Tony?
I think... Yeah, him. Tony. Yeah. I think I like Tony a bit more because Tony can play like back in the backfield too a little bit.
This is the next name on my list.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't even see.
No.
For everyone who knows, I'm pulling this up on my phone on this one list that I've got here, but he didn't see it. Yeah, no. Kadarius Tony, he's taller. He's listed. If you go look at his college football.
He's a bit more raw, I think, though.
Possibly. Yeah. I mean, he didn't have as many of the big seasons, but if you go look at his stuff on college football reference page. Oop, let me try to get it for Josh just so he can take a look at it too while I talk about it. But he shows up in his first 3 years in at Florida, not as a wide receiver or a running back. It says utility.
He kind of plays all over. He can play slot, but he can also play in the backfield too.
Yes. Let's see. I'm pulling this up just so we can show this out to my son here while he's talking about this here too. Oh, I always hate that when they have the there's a sports reference page. Yeah, shows up as a utility player for 3 years.
Oh, and well, I guess as a senior, he's a wide receiver.
Yeah, listed as a wide receiver his senior year. He still did get 19 carries. He had 21 carries as a sophomore, 12 of them as a junior. I mean, that's not his primary position, obviously,
no.
But he has that ability to do that. He had 984 yards receiving last year, 70 catches in 11 games. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's a good sample size. He's getting 14.1 a catch on 70 catches. So that's definitely nice to see that. And he's got the speed and he's got a little bit more height, obviously, which is, it's something. What's the other one here?
Is this the wide receivers one or no?
Well, no, this is the one you're looking at here, Josh. But here's the other one. Here's another one we have talked about, we have watched. Zaven Collins, linebacker at Tulsa.
Tulsa. Number 23.
Number 23. He's got the numbers. He's been watching it. Yeah, he's got interesting stuff, and he's a taller guy. He's probably more likely to be a real 3-4 outside backer.
He's really athletic.
He is. He had a couple pick sixes this last year, too.
He's not all that fast, but I think he knows how to read the quarterback's eyes. I think that's a big thing about him.
He's quick enough and he's fast enough. Like, he's not super fast, but for a linebacker, he's got
pretty He's not speed. Devin White speed, but he's not, like, slow. He's not Jake Ryan speed.
And there's our dig on Jake Ryan. Just so we go.
He's an average guy. He makes tackles, like, 5 yards down the field. If you want an average linebacker, then just there's a bunch of guys you can pick from. Blake Martinez, that he's right there.
Is Zaven Collins going to be one of those guys, though?
No, I think he's got the mix of he's definitely more athletic than Jake Ryan ever was. That's for sure.
Yeah,
he's definitely quicker and faster. I think he's a playmaker instead of a
shot taker.
Yeah, well, Jake Ryan was not a shot taker. He was a I'll get blocked and then I'll make the tackle.
Yeah, he didn't get off blocks very well. He does take on blocks better than what I ever saw from Blake Martinez or Jake Ryan
or AJ Hawk.
Or A.J. Hawk, unfortunately, yeah. And here's your guy right here, Nick Bolton.
Oh, I hate him.
Linebacker from Missouri. Like, people love this kid. I don't get it.
He's not good. I mean, not for a first-rounder, because I saw a mock draft of Packers taking him first-round, and he is not first-round talent at all.
I don't see he doesn't look like he's ever really going full speed. He's slow on the read.
He's really good at getting blocked.
He does...
And when he does, when he knows the block's coming, he just avoids it. He doesn't ever take on the block.
Yeah. We were talking about that. He doesn't take and shed. You don't have to hawk and lock and get into him and fight with him, but you got to find your way to the ball. And he seems to he knows he's getting blocked. He'll give ground until he kind of has a different line that he feels he can take on it. I don't really like it as much.
He guesses wrong a lot too. He'll shoot the wrong gap. And then he'll still get to the play. Like, he's decently fast, but I mean that play is already 7 yards downfield.
Yeah. So he's an okay talent. If they drafted him in the second round, late second round, maybe I wouldn't feel so bad about that. Yeah. I wouldn't feel so bad. But
if we got him third, I'd be pretty happy because I'd say late second, maybe early third talent. But if we got him, if he fell to late third, then I'd take him.
Yeah, somebody's going to take him before. I mean, it'll depend. There's so much that's going to happen between now and then. There'll be some kind of weird combine. There'll be, pro days here and there and everywhere, and we'll see how that all goes. But, it is what it is. All right, let's move on to the things that we're actually watching right now, actual games that are happening.
I mean, yeah.
We are actually watching film on guys just as much as we can, but this is more interesting to see this because Josh and I have been pulling up full game films on guys just fun.
Straight up. Just straight full games. Just films of just guys. Just, not even in the play. They're just covering somebody that's not getting the ball thrown to them.
We're like, well, moved his hips well.
Yeah.
But anyhow, we did have baseball. I mean, these games don't count for anything, but we've had some baseball in the last bit here. First game, Lauer was the starting pitcher. And he's got an ERA of 18 now.
It's kind of impressive, actually.
Not even mad. No, but it's because he pitched one inning. Everybody's pitching one inning.
Yeah.
Of the pitching, I got my other notes here. I wrote down specific notes as I was going back through the games, which have been hard to find, but yeah. I loved it. Yeah. One thing that I loved, and I didn't know if you probably saw this while you were watching. We watched it separately on our DVRs here. Mike Wright, the pitcher for the White Sox in the first game.
He played for the Dinos, right?
You got it, yeah.
I saw someone bring that up.
The NC Dinos, the champions of the Korean League.
They showed videos of him pitching against some other
If you're going to show a guy who played for the Dinos, how do you not show him carrying the Korean championship trophy?
Yeah, I don't know how they don't show that big sword.
If anyone doesn't know, the championship trophy of the Korean Baseball League is like a 5-foot-long sword.
It's huge.
It's amazing. It's one of the greatest things I've ever seen. But now managing the White Sox is Tony La Russa,
I saw, so it was like, this is his ninth season of being the coach, but he hasn't coached since like 1996 or something.
Yeah, he managed the team way back when. He's also managed so many other teams, but we also know him as the devil.
That's okay.
Tony La Russa, most painfully, managed the Cardinals to some World Series.
Oh, so he's a good coach.
Oh, he's a great ass. This is where I forget that my son is not my age and does not remember the Oakland Athletics with La Russa, and doesn't always remember that La Russa was managing those Cardinal teams that put the Brewers out of the playoffs a couple times and won World Series that we should have won. Yeah, he's a hurtful man. Tony La Russa, I believe that's just Italian for the Russian.
Italian for the Russian.
I don't know if it is, but
I doubt it.
Probably is. Yeah, La Russa. Nah, but it's nice to have beaten him, you know, even though the game doesn't count and he's pitching, you know, Wright's not probably making that team.
I doubt it.
Especially after what he did was put the first three batters to 3-2 counts.
Yeah. I was like, how many 3-2 counts is this guy going
to
go?
Three in a row to start the game. 3-2 to, to start off with. Abisail Garcia was the leadoff in the first game. He gives a 3-2 and then walks him. 3-2 to Narvaez, gives up a single. Little bloop single opposite field, and then Hira comes up and just crushes a slider that hung, which is, it's good to see, because Hira is a fastball hitter, and if he can crush something that's not a fastball, that makes me happy.
Also, if he could learn how to, you know, be a bit better defensively.
We didn't get to see a lot of him defensively.
I think, yeah, didn't he play like one inning or something?
Mm-mm.
Or you play the full game?
Yeah, not the full game, but he was out there for several innings. He had a couple at bats.
I know he struck out the next two
times. The next two times.
Straight, yeah. I don't want him to become a power hitter only. I don't want that to happen to my boy Keston.
Yeah, no, it would be nice. What you always worry about, like the second time he came up, they got that breaking ball falling away from him, and he fanned at it badly. He hasn't been good on the breaking stuff, so you hope to see a little growth there. I mean, the first year to the second year, one big thing was they got the book on him. The book is breaking balls.
Yeah.
And then, the next thing is they say he gets his third, and also, I guess, it was a short season. It was a weird season, so that affected it too. So we'll see how he grows into this third season here. There were not a lot of balls hit at him. I didn't see any.
I don't think I saw any.
There really weren't, to be honest, for the three innings I think he was in the game, or three or four innings he was in the game, there really weren't a lot of putouts at first.
Strikeouts and fly balls.
Fly balls. Abisail Garcia had an incredibly good gun from right field to third base. I mean, right, that was one of the big outs in the game, because at that point it was a walk and then it was a hit. But Garcia picked it up so quickly and got it to third that he stopped a runner on base. And I think the next guy put it out of the park. I think Engel was the next batter.
Yeah.
Put it out of the park. So, that kept it a 3-2 game instead of a 3-3. I mean, that was the only runs that the White Sox managed for that game. So, that was good. The next two pitchers for the Brewers.
Our first round pick from like 2 years ago, I think, came in.
Yeah, I think it was his name. Topa and then Perdomo were the next two pitchers for the second and third innings. Both of them got out pretty clean. I think Perdomo got it out in a 1-2-3 inning.
Yeah, I think it was 1-2-3 for him.
Yeah, so that looked good. You like seeing some of that. Those are really guys we're counting on in sections of those, you know, sixth innings and fifth innings here and there, seventh innings and such. So we would like seeing some of those guys, those younger arms, come up and be able to do something there. So it was nice to see some of that work out for us. The three pitch slider away, the big thing I was talking about, Tyrone Taylor, that first game was huge for him.
Yeah. Double T. I'm going to not say that again.
Double T. Okay. It could be worse, I suppose. Yeah. But yeah, it's, he had a beautiful, single. He crushed on the line and then just absolutely destroyed a home run pitch.
Yeah. I saw the swing. I mean, it wasn't Griffey, but. You know,
nothing's Griffey. Jeez.
It was a rookie Mike Trout at best.
All right. As long as it's not Jeff Jenkins. I mean, that swing worked for Jeff Jenkins, but that's the reason he was hurt all the time, is His swing was violent and angry. It was like throwing an axe, you know, like a Saxon axe wielder. It's like a halberd. So yeah, that was it was a good first game. Got decent outings from a lot of guys there, so that worked out fairly well. The second game went very well too. We got a nice game today.
It's the D-backs.
Yeah, the D-backs. Brewers come in there. They get another couple good, good deep hits to start everything off with. Our one of my favorites, Manny Pineapple. God is with us, Pineapple.
Yes,
very. Brewers get a 7-1 win on this one. Got ahead, 2-run home run, get 3 runs in the 4th, 2 in the 5th. Nice to see some of these guys getting out there. Corbin Burns.
Oh, yeah, he pitched for first inning today.
Yeah, he looked good out there. Urias gets a hit. Gets an RBI, like I said. Vogelbach continues to not look particularly strong out
there. It's hard when you're a square.
Life is tough when you're a square. There's like a Schoolhouse Rock song out of there somewhere, I'm sure.
I always think of him as the square pumpkin. I forgot the name.
The square pumpkin?
You've never seen that?
I don't know that
I have. There's like a really bad movie, like a Halloween movie about or something, and then all the other ones make fun of him because he's not, you know, circular.
Jeez.
So that's okay. I always think of him as like a happy square.
I like this right now. That's pretty fantastic. Peterson came out in left field. Matthias at third in this game, and that's
our best hitter.
Yeah, that's an interesting play there. I like seeing that. I mean, I like seeing Shaw out there more. And I thought when Shaw was in, he had a couple good rips on the ball. He had, I believe he had a single in the first game. He had a deep drive that it didn't get warning track depth, but he got into one early, which was an out. But you know, it's
very, very good out.
It was a loud out. But still, yeah, it's nice. I'm going to root for Shaw because I like him, but Matthias is a young guy coming up.
I like Matthias. I didn't think he'd make the team last year, but he did, and I've been rooting for him ever since.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, they went out and got Robertson. And Robertson, he looked good, at least defensively. He had some nice plays defensively playing out there, and he was playing second.
Oh, okay.
And I think he's generally a third baseman for the most part, but if he can play second as well, I mean, that's something else he can give us. I mean, I don't know if Matthias can play second. I guess he probably can, but I don't know if he's got, I guess, the total speed.
He can play third base too, right?
Yeah, he was in at third today.
Because he can play right, I know, because he played right last year.
Okay. Yeah, he's got that arm. He can do something from third and right that should work out all right for him.
I had I was thinking about a conundrum that we have. So if we have Yelich. Okay. And then we have Kane in center. I don't know when Kane – hopefully Kane plays tomorrow. We got to see Kane again. Love him. But if we get Jackie Bradley Jr., where are we going to put him? Are we gonna move Avisail out? Because he's been really good so far.
Yeah, you definitely move Avisail Garcia out.
He's the worst.
He's been nice.
He's still good. Would you put him at our DH? I don't know. I don't know who has a better glove because JBJ has an okay glove, but he's definitely not Lorenzo Cain.
Well, you hear too.
Not Yelich's bat.
Yeah, Garcia dropped 30 pounds this year.
Yeah, he's gotten a lot thinner.
So, I mean, and he's already a very athletic guy. So, I mean, neither one of them is a bad glove out there. That might be the reason why the Brewers haven't tried to put up the money for Bradley just yet.
Were we in talks with him, though?
They're one of the teams that's rumored, at least, with him. So
if we can put him at DH, you know.
Which is not going to happen a lot.
Yeah, I know. We would have to take him out. But if he's willing to do that, then...
Well, they're going to need days off here and there. Everybody is going to. You want somebody else who can play center some.
Yeah, because Kane can't always be
there. But Avisail Garcia can.
Yeah, I don't know. But if we put Matthias at, like, right or something.
If we're going to spend money on somebody, find another third baseman or something. Like, we don't need second. We don't currently, I guess, need first, necessarily. if you're saying Vogelbach, who... I love the guy, but he's a... He's Fat Janice.
He is not very athletic.
He's a guy we love, well, not in terms of athleticism. He's a guy we love more than he deserves based on the play on the field.
Yeah.
he's Fat Janice.
So today I got a notification. I think we have Jace Peterson, right?
Yes.
But I got a notification from Jay Peterson. He's like, did we get Jock Peterson? Like, when did this happen? Then I'm like, oh, never mind. We got Jace Peterson.
Jace Peterson.
Never mind.
Nice. Yeah, I'm looking at this too. Burns and Peralta. I mean, they each pitched one inning, one full, and they had five strikeouts between the two of them. Peralta gets a hold with three strikeouts in an inning. I mean, he gave up a hit and a walk, but he also had three strikeouts and gave up no runs. Burns with two strikeouts, no hits, no runs, no walks. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Nice first inning. I mean, seriously, that 1-2 of pitching is going to be so fun to watch this year. I just want to see where they round out the rest of the five, though.
Yeah, I don't know. Does Lindblom take the three?
Do you have Lindblom or, I mean, Anderson's going to be in there. You're going to have some other guys in there, too. But, I mean,
I saw an interesting...
I think Lindblom goes three, and then you're kind of dealing with four and five, what you got left.
I saw an interesting statistic. It was like the Brewers win almost, it was like 80% of the games where they lead in the sixth inning.
Oh, yeah.
Or something like, it was something like that, I think.
The depth in the bullpen is something that definitely works in their favor. We were kind of talking about this between ourselves, too. Just, you know, and I talked with Wendy about this last week. I know, Josh, you heard that one. But it really seems the Brewers have a chance with this one. And, this is the typical Milwaukee feeling is we didn't get what we wanted to get out of this offseason. You know, we got Shaw back.
We got Colton Wong. But yeah.
Yeah, Franco would
be. I don't see too many holes in this team really, except our rotation is the main thing really.
Yeah, back half of our rotation, we'd like to see some more out of it, but if they can be kind of a 500 group and then have a winning group up front with the front two, then you've got a pretty decent collection of pitching there.
Yeah.
The bullpen still looks good. I mean, the eighth and ninth innings are locked down.
Yeah.
So you feel good about that. They're hitting now. We'll see how it goes. We get Kane back for a full year and see how that goes. Yeah,
that'll definitely help our defense. I'm sure it'll help guys' confidence when they, you know, when
having
they're on
Wong
defense.
Up the middle is going to help on our defense.
Yeah. And getting hit, our defense is going to be so much better this year because we got, you know, our gold glove. We got two gold glovers back now.
Yeah.
Two of them. Well, I guess we signed one, but now we have two in the center of the field. So that'll definitely help.
Yeah. That should help a bunch here. We were also looking at just kind of some of the other teams around us. Like the Cubs, which is like watching the people that left that team this year. Kyle Schwarber's in Washington. Jose Quintana's with the Angels. John Lester's with Washington. Tyler Chatwood is with Toronto. Jeremy Jeffress is with Washington, which makes me happy because I hate seeing him in that red and blue garbage.
Yeah, I hated it.
Yeah, I don't like seeing that. I don't like seeing him on that team. Albert Elmora, I mean, he wasn't fantastic, but he definitely hurt the Brewers a couple times last year, it felt like.
I hated him for a little bit.
Billy Hamilton, minor league deal
Billy
with Cleveland.
Billy Hamilton.
Jose Martinez,
that
minor
guy
league
was
deal.
So fun to watch at one point.
Yeah.
Now he's not.
But, I mean, like, that's a lot of names. You're losing John Lester. You're losing Tyler Chatwood. You're losing Jeremy Jeffress.
He's still decent. He's not bad.
Yeah, so that's just it's several people there that you're like, okay, they still got Jake Arrieta, but they've lost several other guys.
How old is Arrieta?
Let me see if I can look that up here. I'll click on him and see. I'm trying to think how old. He's 34 at 360 days. So he'll be 35.
Jeez.
Just a couple days here. I don't know.
I thought John Lester was old.
I don't feel as scared of that team as, you know, maybe I normally would. I'm still worried about the Cardinals.
They have two stars now, which is a big thing. But other than that, who's there? Like, they don't have anyone else who I'm, like, super scared of, but they have other people who I'm, like, kind of... I would try to not give up hits to them, I'll say.
Well, yeah, I mean, they went out and got...
They got $50 million for Arenado.
Yeah.
For basically Arenado hurting the Rockies' feelings.
Yeah. Yadier Molina is 72 years old.
They paid him like $10 million, so I'm glad they did.
Goldschmidt and is right there. Tommy Edman at second.
Is it DeJong? Definitely or DeJong? I don't know which
one. Oh, DeJong?
Yeah.
DeJong is down there. Shortstop. He's still good. He's a guy who's going to get on base and do some things. Nolan Arenado, definitely great. Matt Carpenter.
He's
still hanging out.
79.
Yeah, he's going to be in a couple different spots. You know, they'll find ways to try to get him on the field if they can, because maybe they'll move Arenado around. I don't know. They want to get those guys. You know,
their corner infielders are insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I mean, they got that going for them, and they're hoping that, you know, they can get Paul Jeong on the base. But, I mean, like, Tyler O'Neill, Harrison Bader, and Dylan Carlson.
Dylan Carlson, I haven't seen much of him yet. I've heard he's got a good upside, but I haven't seen him really.
Yeah, I guess they're not names that scare me at this point.
Yeah, maybe they'll... Harrison Bader, I'm not super scared of. I mean, he's great defensively, but offensively, he's okay.
Yeah, and I don't know. I guess the big thing is just they always grow talent very well. And I mean, they're a team that's able to continue for as little market as you think they are. They're like the fifth highest payroll in baseball, I think, or seventh right now, I think, because some other teams decided to spend a lot more money this year.
The Padres.
Yeah, Padres jumped up.
They have three. No. I mean, they have two, like, $300 million contracts in their infield. They gave Manny Machado 10 years of $300 million.
That's rough.
I mean, and they're crazy good at this point. They traded away all their prospects, but they're trying to win it all this year.
Yeah, well, yeah, and we'll see. And it's a young team, though, still. It's not that terribly old. But the other teams in the Central, I mean, the Pirates are still, they're going to be rebuilding for a couple more years.
Yeah, they traded away Bell. I mean, they don't have that much, but we'll still find a way to lose to them.
There you are. There's that Milwaukee Brewer instinct inside of you.
But yeah, that's happens.
And then there's Cincinnati, and they had Bauer last year, but
He went to stupid LA because he's stupid.
It's not because he's stupid. It's
he's actually pretty smart. Things. Him on Twitter, he's a fun follow.
He's an interesting human being, we'll say. He does pick some odd fights every now and then.
But, just I mean, to he annoy did. People. He did really disagree with how much money Tatis made. he hated it. He compared it to like he's about how much like a lawyer makes, and he's like, "You're telling me Tatis puts in way more work than a lawyer would in a year?" He's like, "If a lawyer doesn't make 5% as much as Tatis will in a year."
Jeez. What a weird thing to do.
I mean, it got some respect for him, but I'd still have...
As a lawyer, almost, I still find that weird.
Almost
like,
none.
What do you... Why do you care that much about what another person's making? I just, like, whatever, man.
I mean, he's getting, like, 104 over 2 years, so...
Yeah. Just looking at the pitching staff they've got, too. I mean, Adam Wainwright, I mean, he's... Jeez. 1981? That's an old person's age.
Jesus.
No, that's my brother Dan's age. That's not that old.
For a pitcher, that is.
Yeah, for a professional athlete, it feels a lot older, I suppose. Kwon Hyun Kim, Daniel Ponce de Leon. Yeah.
I always kill him when I play Road to the Show for MLB. I always hit homers off him.
Miles Mikolas. Mikolas. And Flaherty. I mean,
Flaherty's pretty good.
Yeah, they got some good guys. Carlos Martinez is kind of hanging around in there somewhere, too. They got some good guys. I mean, nobody in there is a killer just at this point, though. There's nobody who's just a shutdown guy.
No.
No one on that staff right now is Corbin Burns.
Nope. No one. No. None of them are Brandon Woodruff.
No. Yeah. Oh, if they're not Burns, they're definitely not Woodruff. Well, we'll see this year. We'll see if Burns passes Woodruff at this
point.
He
might.
This year.
I don't know. It all depends.
The catchers have been really loving the work he did this offseason, so I'm excited. You think the Brewers win the Central, Josh? It's 162 games of...
I'm so good at playing. They're playing 162 this year instead of just 60. I'm so happy.
It's going to be great, and we're glad to be watching.
I can't wait to be bored of watching baseball again. Like, you know, you come home from, like, you know, doing something, and you're like, oh, stupid baseball. Why is it on? Why can't something entertaining like football be on? But then, you know, baseball season ends. He's like, what do I do now?
I miss baseball.
There's nothing to do.
We say the best part about baseball is that it can be the background music to your life.
Yeah, you can just have it on whenever.
You can be listening to Euchre while you know, like I put on headphones, listen to Euchre while I'm vacuuming or while I'm mowing the lawn. It's beautiful. It's perfect because baseball's all about the setup. You're like, you know, man on second, runners at the corners, two outs. It's a 1-2 pitch. Last pitch was low and away. We might be looking something inside here. We've got a lefty-lefty matchup.
I think that's just Euchre uses shift. Magic, though. That might just be Euchre for me.
Yeah, Euchre wouldn't do that much setup.
He'd no, like, he would just hey, be like, and the pitch. Yeah, that.
Hey, he moves pretty fast back when I was playing. Sometimes I'd pretend I was fast by knocking my hat off.
At least it's not that Reds guy. I am sorry for made a mistake. And there's a drive. Cassianos. Deep, Cassianos. And it's gone. And I'm sorry. At least.
Yeah, that is the Twitter meme that will never die, hopefully, because that is fantastic. We'll go this way first. We're going to go Badgers basketball.
Oh, no.
As we move out of Brewers talk feeling good about it. Here's the one thing I'll say. Well, I mean, they lost. But we knew they were going to lose that game to Illinois.
Yes.
Like, we were all well aware of that heading into it. We got massively sad at the fact that they fell down by so much.
It was so sad.
They made one of their first 15, right? Was it one of the first 15 that they
I think
made?
It was one of the first 12, I think. I think it got to one of the first 15. But when I checked, it was one of the
first
12.
One of the worst.
And then I stopped watching because I was like, no, thanks. I'll come back later. And then it was actually kind of close.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. So it was a 74-69 loss. So they lost by five. If you just see the score, you're like, man, they were kind of in that. They hung with them. No, Trice went crazy at the end of this game.
Yeah, Trice was...
It's
what he dreams of doing every game.
This is exactly true, sadly. This is exactly what
he tries to do every single game.
If he could do it every game of just not bothering to do anything else but dribble and then shoot, like you can just see this, like they're down, 54-42 with 5.5 left?
Yeah.
And then they just close that gap all the way through the end. I mean, like, they weren't really in this game almost ever. And it hurts when you go down, you know, 13-2.
It's really hard to come back from that. Like, you can, obviously, but it's just really hard.
They kind of worked their way back, but then they went right back down. And they kind of stayed down 10 points most of the game. I mean, it is 60-47. And then, you know, ends 68-50. Or, yeah, you know, it's just like they closed that gap just in such a weird close way. I mean, like, at the end of this, was it Trice has 29 points? On 9 of 16 shooting. So, I mean, like, the shooting is okay by the end. As a team, they shot 34%.
That's terrible.
It's unbelievable to shoot 34%. I mean, the Badgers are a shooting team. They're a jump-shooting team.
Yeah.
That's what the motion offense, the Bo Ryan offense, which he invented, this motion-styled offense is predicated on moving the ball, getting across court, lots of motion, setting up open shots, getting open passing. So, everybody they recruit is a passer and a shooter.
I mean, but does Potter shoot 8 threes?
Because he can.
He made 2 of them. He's shooting 8.
Yeah, Potter has kind of fallen in love with shooting the 3. It's 2 of 8 from 3.
He's kind of like the big guy who always shoots 3.
Yes, there's always
like
that
you're
one.
You're 6'8", man. Maybe to go in the post.
Davison shoots 0 of 3 from 3.
So
Trice, 6 of 9 from 3. I mean, he only made 3 shots that weren't 3-pointers. We'll see, you know.
Yeah.
Davison getting us 4 points. Like, of our starters, Badger starters.
Trice has more points than all of the others combined.
All the others combined, because nobody else hit double digits. 2 points for Wall.
Well,
6 points
Potter
for Rivers.
Potter got it off the bench.
Potter coming off the bench gets 15, but you know, 3 points for Ford. This is
Ford
unbelievable.
Made 1 of 7. 1 of
7. And 1 of 9 for Davison.
3 of 10 for Reavers. Like, what are we doing?
Mostly senior players. Not Wall. Wall stepping in there to kind of get that extra player.
I remember when we had Vito Brown.
Okay. It is ridiculous how bad this team is at shooting. Which is the one thing that you really have to be able, you have to be able to pass, play defense, and shoot.
Yeah, it's like that's.
We don't necessarily need guys who are big dunkers or high flying, you know, shot block guys. Who are like,
yeah.
Play good defense, solid defense, and the Badgers have built themselves as a top 10 type program by being a team that gets, you know, more points per possession than other teams.
Yeah, that's a big thing. That
we don't have a lot more possessions, but we get more points per possession. Yeah, so Badgers just this team just makes me so mad, but it is literally only because I expected so much more of this team.
And also the Big Ten is so good that, you know, I don't know where they're going to put us in March Madness.
There'll be a spot for them somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know where we'll be, though.
We'll see what the bracketology is saying right now. And last week, they were saying the Badgers were a 5 seed. If we're looking at it right now, oof, I don't want to see that. Where are we at here?
We're at 5.
Still got Badgers at 5. Now they've got us playing number 12, Toledo.
UCSB.
Or maybe Toledo. Yeah, with Creighton right there. UCSB and Creighton in the 4-13 matchup. St. Bonaventure over there. Yeah, look at that. Illinois is a 2 seed. 1 seed's Gonzaga, Baylor. Was it Michigan?
Alabama's a 2.
Michigan and Ohio State.
Yeah, the Big Ten is so good at basketball this year. And it's not Indiana.
No, well, Indiana hasn't been Indiana in a while.
I'm kind of upset Nebraska-ball hasn't been.
Nebraska-ball has been what it is projected to be.
I know.
Badgers get 2 more games to finish out this year. That was the last home game. It was senior night.
Gotta play Iowa.
2 rough games left at Purdue, at Iowa. Both of them, I guess, technically easier than what they got right now. The Badgers dropped to 25th. They're ranked 25. They're 6th in the Big Ten. As things stand for the Big Ten tournament right now, though, they don't play in that first round, and I believe they would play, what was it? It was the winner of, like, Nebraska versus, I forget who, one of the, like, Nebraska Northwestern or something like that. So, like, okay, that's something you could deal with as the 6. So, like, one of those, like, Nebraska versus Minnesota or something like that would be one of the teams we might have to play. So, yeah, we'll have to see how that all works out in the end here. There's no chance that they fall all the way down to the bottom teams here because they got too many wins early in the year to fall all the way back down to the...
Like, even if we finished 16-11, we'd still be...
Yeah, they could still miss the first round.
We'd still be above Rutgers.
Yeah. We'll miss the first... We won't play that first round, which is nice. And Josh won't understand this because, he's too young to remember when the Badgers were terrible at basketball. But when I was young, they were terrible at basketball. We never went to the tournament even.
I can't help but feel like when things are bad, it's your fault. Because, when you're like, well, the Packers were bad when I was little. Well, clearly they're not when I am. So I'm just going to stay young forever. They'll ever be bad.
Yeah, if you just work that out, that'd be fantastic.
If I could just do that, I'd be amazing.
Yeah, you're supposed to... I grew up in the 70s and 80s, watching all the 80s teams when we just get crushed by the Bears and everybody all the time. And I was like, we got super excited. We went 10-6 under Lindy Infante, and we were like, man, we almost made the playoffs. That was neat. And then
it was so cool.
I don't really remember the 82 Brewers, but I grew up watching a lot of Brewers teams that finished like 2nd to the Blue Jays. And it's like, oh, just missed the playoffs.
Is that why Paul Molitor went there?
I don't think that's why, but they were going to give him a chance to win a World Series. The other thing is, we didn't have as many playoff teams when I was your age. It was like you won the East or the West, then you went into the playoffs. Oh, yeah, there was no Central.
You were telling me about how like the All-Star games were a lot.
They meant more a lot more competitive. The only time you ever played the other league. So yeah, it was interesting that way. We'll pick you back up here, basketball wise. Talking about a little Bucks here, because the Bucks now, after we kind of, we had that stretch there. We were very unhappy. 5 straight losses. Yeah,
it's like, what the heck is going on?
I mean, they were tough games. Phoenix.
Utah, which is arguably the best team in the league right now.
Yeah. The loss to Oklahoma City was just unforgivable. The two with Toronto here at home were rough. But then they followed up with 5 straight wins. We said, coming into this is where you get healthy, right? Yeah. You're looking at these teams. It was Oklahoma City, you got to get that win back. It was a terrible game. Terrible game. Neither team reaches 100. Just gross game to watch. Sacramento, Minnesota, New Orleans, those are bad teams.
Yeah, especially Minnesota.
Minnesota's very sad. We played them the first game after they fired their coach, too.
Yeah, it's going to be hard for them to adjust.
But yeah, New Orleans got a lot of big billing. It was going to be on a big TV game because it's Zion and Giannis. And it's like
Zion's so good, he leads them to a losing record, right?
Yeah, well, there's not a lot else going on with that team, but yeah, they got
Lonzo.
Yeah. but the big one here is just yesterday. They get a win at home against the Clippers. That's a big win.
Yeah.
Giannis takes over in the fourth quarter.
I was rewatching it on a TV, and you could see how dominant he was in the last little bit of the fourth quarter.
Well, yeah, and you were watching some of this too. Now, we were talking about this last week. They're letting, was it 10% capacity or something?
Yeah,
and,
I think
see the energy change on that team?
Yeah, Giannis is getting way more excited now. Middleton is taking, more contested shots, which isn't ideal, but he's making them.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is Jrue Holiday is back playing for this team.
And I think they got the chemistry down, too, which is just helping.
I think one thing that goes with this team is they're moving toward being more like what the Lakers have been, what some of these other teams, the Heat had been, what the Celtics before them with the, you don't really probably remember them.
Is it KG, Paul Pierce, and Rondo?
Yeah, well, Rondo was on that team, but the big one was Ray Allen. It was rookie Rondo and Ray Allen.
That's a crazy team right there.
That's a really good team.
And who they had, another center's name.
They had Perkins.
That was it. I knew who I was thinking about.
That dude's crazy.
That was 07, right? Is that KG's MVP?
No, his MVP was with
Where is it, 06?
With Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
When they lost to the Lakers in the Western Finals. No, but the big thing is, you looked at those teams and they didn't have a ton on the bench. They had enough on the bench to kind of, pull J.R. Ryder out of someplace and throw him on the floor and just like, hey, man, go out, shoot like crazy. But the Bucks, when you lost somebody, you were playing with those teams and they lost Dwayne Wade and one of those guys is just on the floor for, 35 minutes a game suddenly. And you're like, this team's not quite as good suddenly.
No, whoa, yeah.
So without Jrue Holiday, when the Bucks gave up a bunch of bench to get this going here, and then they,
Forbes was okay.
Bryn Forbes has actually greatly surprised me as not the guy I predicted to be my favorite bench player. I thought it was going to be DJ Augustine, and I still think he's
Bobby Portis is also amazing off the bench still.
Right. Augustine's getting some starting time now, which means he can't be my favorite bench player anymore.
Yeah.
And
that's how that works.
But yeah. Well, I didn't think they're working Holiday back in there too. So he came off, played 18 minutes in this game.
2 points?
2 points in 18 minutes. He's got a plus in the plus minus, which is helpful.
Yeah. Bobby Portis is minus 12.
Still.
Hey, you made a 3-pointer.
Yeah, but they got a win where they didn't get tons of points from the bench. They got nobody went double digits. 9 points from Portis led the bench. Connington gets 7.
Connington.
But yeah, basically, Giannis just destroyed everybody in the fourth quarter. He gets up to 36 there at the end of the game in 40 minutes. Middleton with 19. Lopez adds 10, which is fantastic. Big Ragu adds 11. So it's nice. Yeah, and getting rebounds up and down here. So, it was a good game. They were able to beat a good team.
Yeah, Clippers are good. They got two superstars there.
Yeah, this is a very, very good team, and it's exciting to see them beat a team that's this good.
And they scored 19 points in the fourth quarter. The Lakers did.
The Clippers, yeah.
The Clippers, my bad. They're both LA teams.
Yeah, 19-28 in the fourth quarter. Just making sure that they get that big one.
Giannis
there.
Had 20 of those.
Yeah, he just took that team apart and just he put it on a steroids, which we talked about this last week. When was the last time we really saw these teams just having him step up and
Bucks are first in the Central.
Yeah, they've been up in the Central for a while. Okay. But I was saying the last time we really saw Giannis just have to step up and just own a game. Just have to take over a quarter or something like that. I haven't really seen him specifically do that this year. So it's fantastic to see that because it makes me more hopeful that they're winding into something good now.
And we're third still.
A game and a half back of the Knicks,
the
Sixers.
The Knicks are fourth?
Yeah. You didn't see that?
No, I haven't been watching.
Oh, it's been fantastic.
Has RJ Barrett been killing it or something?
Yeah, they've been looking pretty good.
The East is 18
bad. And 17. The East is just
the East is terrible.
Hot garbage below the Bucks.
The Hornets have a losing record in their eighth.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's it. For a hot minute there, Boston was ninth in the East for a couple days. And that definitely hit Twitter pretty hard. They're like, Boston's out of the playoffs right now. It's like they'll find a way to be in there.
We're only one half game back from the Sixers.
Yeah. Game and a half back of the Sixers. Only a half game back of the Nets for second. Bucks continue to have the best plus minus in the East.
Jazz
are the best. Bucks are the second best in all of basketball. The best in the East. We've got the new schedule coming out now, and we can see what everybody's got for the rest of the year. They finished up the season here in terms of what the schedule is going to look like. You know, it's going to look probably fairly similar to what we've already seen, I guess. Yeah. So,
but if we can have Giannis, you know, kick into his extra gear like he did, you know, 2019 season, I think we have a way better chance of making the finals and winning it than we would have in past years.
He's been marginally uninspired to this point, I would say. And his numbers are still essentially his MVP numbers.
I think the fans really get him going.
So, yeah, if they can get more of that coming up soon, that'd be great. It's going to be a rough stretch here for a couple games. They're going to have to play Denver and then Memphis. Denver's a rough game. They get them at home at least.
We're 14-4 at home.
Yeah, the home stuff is good. I mean, it's just and when we played in Denver, we beat them in Denver last time. But man, they were hitting threes from everywhere.
Giving up the 3-point line. We do. We're like, Jamal Murray, don't worry, he can't shoot. Oh, he made it.
You can shoot from further away in Denver because the air's so thin. I may have made that up. I don't know. And you don't know either, and none of you out there know. So there, Memphis.
Someone might know.
They get a chance to try to pull away from the vaunted New York Knicks coming up there, and then they get two games in Washington against the Wizards, and then they'll have a chance to play the 76ers coming up on St. Patrick's Day.
I loved John Wall when he was in.
I may not have a great take on what happens with the 76ers on. I mean, playing a game on St. Patrick's Day, I may not have a great take. We'll just say that my viewing might be impaired in some way. It is St. Patrick's Day. That's a Wednesday this year. That's just not fair. It shouldn't be legal to have St. Patrick's Day on a Wednesday. Yeah, Indiana, two games with Boston, New York, Clippers. Yeah, they got a couple of things coming up here. It's going to be kind of, you know, they got a back-to-back home set with the 76ers out in April, so that'll be interesting too.
We play the Brooklyn home too.
Oh yeah, we got a two-game back-to-back home set May 2nd and 4th on Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you.
Yeah,
and it's also your grandfather's birthday.
I know, that's why he has a shirt about it.
Yeah, well, I bought him that shirt.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, no, that's. It's not a bad schedule. The nice thing is you get those two sets there with home games against teams who are right now a game and a half back and a half game back from. That's a way we could possibly catch up some here. We will have to play in Philadelphia on the 17th, but the other two will be home games. Get to play Minnesota and New Orleans again. That'll be fun. Super. All right. So that should be interesting there coming up for the rest of this year. Everything else that we have, now that we're through all of our major sports, we're going to get everything else in what we lovingly call our last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
All right, so as far as what we've got here for our last call segment, there's not as much because the biggest things are Wisconsin was going to wrestle against Iowa. That was canceled for COVID.
And we would have lost.
So. We would have definitely lost.
Yeah.
Wisconsin has now fallen out of the top 25 in wrestling. So that's unfortunate. Still pulling for Eric Barnett. Hopefully he'll have a nice little set here as he can try to go through. But I think that there's not much left for anything. They're just going to try to have. I think the Big Ten tournament is still ahead.
That's going to be a tough one. Three of the top four teams are in the Big Ten.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, the co-regular season champs, Iowa, Penn State, they finished 1-2. So Iowa 1, Penn State 2, Michigan 5, Nebraska 8, Minnesota 9, Illinois 11, Ohio State 12. Jeez, yeah, that's just Michigan State 23. And Wisconsin was ranked around 17 to 20 for most of the year, and they fell out there. They're still receiving a vote. That's they're the one team that dropped out. They only won one actual duel this year.
Only one.
Yeah, they were 1-6 technically, and they were still in the fight because the Big Ten's just better than everybody at that. Also, the biggest match this year in women's volleyball was going to be Wisconsin-Nebraska. It was going to be 1-5. Nebraska had one loss all season. It was a split. Yeah. They won one and lost one to Minnesota. And Wisconsin's still undefeated. But COVID issues at University of Wisconsin, the women's team is taking 2 weeks off, so they're not going to play this week, and they will not play next week. So they'll be back a week from next week, I guess. And 2 weeks from now, they'll be back playing again. And we'll have more to tell you there. But the other news we have is that the Wisconsin women's hockey clinches the WCHA, the Western Collegiate Hockey Association, regular season championship.
Yay. And
for the fifth time in 6 years. It's fantastic. This team is so, so good. They should have won the title. They should have won a national title last year, but there was no national title last year.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The Badgers dropped to number two because they split with the University of Minnesota Duluth.
I hate Minnesota. All Minnesota teams.
the Bulldogs, they split with them, so they end up getting the championship. But because of the loss, they actually drop behind Northeastern out there in Massachusetts, Boston area. They drop behind them for first place. The Badgers now ranked second in the country. WCHA tournament will now proceed. Badgers will start off playing number four Minnesota. Meanwhile, number five, UMD, will play number three, Ohio State. So that's what's going to be going on in the WCHA. Men's hockey continues to have a good role going forward here. The Badgers team came out, had a big game here against Ohio State. Friday night, Dylan Holloway gets the Badgers up. Ohio State comes back and ties, forces overtime. In overtime, there's a very early penalty against Ohio State. Dylan Holloway gets a one-timer that he puts top shelf with like 41 seconds into the overtime. Badgers get the very fast goal. He scores both goals. Badgers win 2-1 in overtime. They didn't have anything nearly that as exciting in game two because they won that one 7-0. Local Central Wisconsin boy, Cole Caulfield, ended up with three goals, gets the hat trick. A couple goals to Ty Pelton Bice. He ended up with a couple goals in that game as
always,
well.
I'll always root for Caulfield, even when he plays for the Canadiens.
Yeah, I'll root for him, but not for the Canadiens.
No one else.
Yeah.
If he could
three goals every game, but then also own goal three, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
No.
He scores six goals a game, 2-3 each way.
But yeah, no. So big wins, getting the sweep against Ohio State. Wisconsin gets to play Michigan State, basically the worst team in the Big Ten this year. They're not a good team. The Badgers are still trying to catch Minnesota. We're trying to figure this out. So the Badgers are behind Minnesota because I think they just played less games. The Badgers have more points.
Yeah.
But it looks like they have not played the same number of conference games. Over this weekend, Minnesota got a sweep over Michigan State. But now they will have to go play Michigan. They're going to play them at home. But number seven, Michigan, number four, Minnesota, will be playing each other, while Wisconsin, number five, Wisconsin, will be playing Michigan State, which we hope they destroy them because I hate everything about Michigan State.
Yeah, them and Minnesota.
Yeah, their stupid football team, their stupid basketball team, and their stupid law school.
And their stupid university.
Yeah, all of you. And that all those people associated with their gymnastics school that should have caused the entire athletics program for that school to be shut down. On top of that, there's not a lot else going on. WIAC hockey does continue, I think, at this point. UW-Eau Claire 4-1 right now, on top of the WIAC in men's hockey. River Falls 5-3, and UW-Stevens Point down in third. UW Stout is a 4-4 team right now, and Superior, not so Superior. They're penultimate right now.
That is not what you think of when you think of Superior hockey.
They're the second to last. They're right ahead of Northland, who does not beat anybody.
Ever.
Ever, apparently. So Northland and Superior right next to each other like they should be, but at the bottom of the standings.
At the bottom.
Well, I mean, you know, they're near each other geographically as well.
Yeah.
But River Falls and Stout, not geographically close, not here in standings. There's Stevens Point between them. Just screws up the metaphors.
Yeah, it really doesn't work that way.
No, it's terrible. Hey, Josh, you got any other sports things you wanted to throw out there before we sign off for the week?
Yeah, I do have one thing. All right. So I wanted to bring this up when we were talking about future guys for the Packers. But we were looking at Dad and I were looking at some guys who get some for the Packers, and we found this one kid out of Memphis, Kenneth Gainwell. He plays not good teams really, so he does look like the best player ever. But the thing is, he caught 50 passes, and he can play slot receiver, and he's a running back. That's the thing. So he could play backfield. He can play slot. He was also played on the outside too. So he could base. He's very utility. So I thought, he does think he's faster than everybody, which is
rough.
It's a big problem, but I think you can get over that. But he's fast. He's got great hands. He can run routes. I don't think people will take him, but Mel Kiper put him as the fourth best running back in the nation. So I don't know when he'll go, but if he's there,
three,
I'll take him third round.
That'd be fantastic.
He looked good. I don't know how it will translate, but hopefully people think Chuba Hubbard is better.
I don't mind Chuba Hubbard. I like him out of Oklahoma State. That dude can run, and he's good in between the tackles. He's got good speed. He's got decent quick shiftiness to him. Yeah, I like him as well. I like Gainwell. As a name, I know we took a little break before we started the last call here. It was a name you were telling me you'd hoped I'd bring up to you, but I did not.
I was
going to bring up Nick Bolton because I knew you'd hate that.
I hate how people think he's not.
Obviously, as everyone knows, son of Roos Bolton.
I had no idea.
No, Josh doesn't know that, nor is he actually the son of Roos Bolton, the feared Lord of the Men from Game of Thrones. Flayed men tell no secrets.
No idea.
Keep no secrets. That's what it is. Anyhow, thank you again, everybody, for joining us. Josh, thank you for staying up past your bedtime.
No problem.
This. He's already got his homework done, everybody. Don't worry about him.
They don't care, Dad.
They do. Everybody cares whether or not I'm a good dad. So that's
every single person.
Yes. Thank you again, everybody. It's been a wonderful week. We should have Aaron back next week, which should be exciting.
Super
exciting. Maybe we'll have Josh join us with Aaron next week. We'll see how that goes.
I don't know how that'll go. We'll talk about him on Twitter. That'll be weird.
But anyhow, remember to follow the show at ScannyJohnnyPod on Twitter. You can follow me at NotSoHumbleHost. Remember that we're on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, anywhere you find podcasts. Remember to wherever it is you download them to subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us. Get us those 5-star ratings. Help other people find the podcast.
Up to 9.
Yeah. And remember that whether you're on the town or on the go or safe at home on the couch, it is always on Wisconsin.
This has been the Scanny Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScannyJohnny1 or online at ScannyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.